Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I'm proud to bring you the Pep Talk with John Carl Pepe, one of our legacy shows. Greetings and welcome, John. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Very good, Hercules. Wow, a legacy. I love that. I love being a legacy. things are good. It is springtime. You know, spring has sprung. Baseball season is in full swing. And I'm really excited to talk about constants, things that, you know, we can, as I was saying earlier to our guest, we could set our calendars to, right? Things we look forward to every year. And one of those things, before I get to our guest, is WrestleMania. WrestleMania is a constant at this time every year, 39th year, and a really big deal, I think, for me and people that know me and people that I know, is this year's Hall of Fame for the WWE. Andy Kaufman finally got inducted into the Hall of Fame
for the
World Wrestling Federation. Yes, yeah, long time coming. There's been a movement to do this for a while now, and I didn't believe it when it was announced at first, because every year this group says, oh, it's happening this year. It's definitely happening this year. And then it actually did happen. So congratulations to Andy, wherever you are. Congratulations to his family, Michael, his brother, and his sister Carol. Said some really nice words about growing up with him and his love for wrestling. And, so that was a nice little highlight for this week. In this being April, one of the constants that I always do look forward to, whether I can make it there or not, is the Chiller Theater Expo in Parsippany, New Jersey. This is a great nostalgia event that happens every 6 months, the last weekend of April and the last weekend of October. It's always fitting that it does land around Halloween, that second time of the year. It's been going strong for, I think, at least 30 years now, and came back really strong after the pandemic. And one of the great pleasures of Chiller Theater is meeting people. And one of the persons that I've met, who has now become a constant on this show, because every time Chiller rolls around, I want to have him on, because, A, he's great to talk to, such a great, cool, friendly guy, and also has a great lineup of guests that he brings that fit right into our pop culture wheelhouse here on the Pep Talk. So without any further ado, enough of my yakking, I do present to you entertainment impresario Stuart Hirsch, back for his third time.
Yay!
What an intro.
Welcome
what
back.
An intro.
Thank you. Welcome
thank
back.
Thank you. So, thank you so much.
Three times, that's a trilogy. One more time,
yeah,
it becomes a saga.
Yeah.
And then your fifth time, we'll get you a jacket, a five-timer's jacket, like on Saturday Night Live.
Well, there you go. It's a trilogy. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's also a charm. Yes, third time's a charm.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So how you been?
I've been good. I'm excited for Chiller coming up, because it makes me so happy to be able to bring out people that I love, and allow people to meet them, and just, you know, watching the faces of the fans on the other side of the table approaching my guests is one of the best parts and reasons for continuing to do stuff like Chiller. Chiller's my home base. You know, I mean, I have been doing Chiller for, gosh, I don't know, if it's not 20 years, it's close to 20 years. Kevin Clement, who it's his baby. He is one of the nicest guys, that does this type of a thing, because he was one of those guys that always went to conventions and, enjoyed them. And then, you know, turned around one day and said, you know, I'm going to do a convention. And so it's kind of it's a fan putting together a show for fans. Mm-hmm. And you know, a little over 30 years ago, this thing began, and it started off because it was Chiller Theater Expo, Chiller Theater based on, you know, the WPIX, Chiller, you know, the hand that came
hand.
Up. Yeah. And then, you know, over these years, it has just branched into this who's who of celebrity favorites, TV
yep.
shows, sitcoms, just it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it doesn't feel like a cold convention, like a big Javits mm-hmm. Center thing. It all takes place in the Hilton Hotel in Parsippany, New Jersey, and it's like a party. It just feels like a party, and the guests
yep.
are walking around, and it's such a cool thing, you know, that you can look up on the Chiller website, which, by the way, is www.chillertheater, with an R-E at the end, theater.
Because it's classy. Yeah, I always say that. It's R-E because it's classy.
R-E, yes, .com. And you go to the guest page and you can see this incredible lineup that not only includes my guests, but guests from all these other great guys that have brought people in, and you know, it's kind of like, whoa, you know, it's a
yeah.
good show this coming one. I mean, they just seem to be getting crazier and better, you know, with every show, and to
yeah,
do that for
exciting.
Over 30 years, that's quite an accomplishment. Yeah
absolutely. I always look forward to, like, it's like those few months between Chillers, I'm always like, you know, waiting for the guest list to go up, you know, just to see who's going to be there. And I always love to watch the progression
yeah.
too, because you always get the few guests at first, and then it opens up and expands and expands. So it's always worth it to, like, keep checking. But yeah, I always love to, like, I always wait for the guest list to be announced. Now, you know, we met at Chiller, and every year you ask me, you know, or the last couple shows you've asked me, are we going to make it this year? I haven't been able to make it. But I do want you to know, I am going to really make an effort to make it Friday night when I get out of work. I'm going to shoot on
okay.
over because not only a couple of folks that you're bringing that I really am looking forward to seeing and saying hi to, and maybe asking a couple questions, I'll ask them to you, and then, you know, you can ask them. But also there's some great folks there as well. Like you said, you know, everybody really does bring their A game when they bring their guests to this show. So yeah, there's a few
Absolutely.
People that I've met at previous Chillers that I do want to kind of revisit and see again. But I really do want to
mm-hmm.
talk about, you have three guests this year, and each
yes.
one has some fascinating places in pop culture history on a couple levels too, to a degree. So let's get the lineup.
Okay, well, let's start off with Keith Thibodeau, who was
yep.
the original and only Little Ricky on I Love Lucy, probably
yes.
the most beloved sitcom of all time, and
yep.
the last surviving cast member of that show. Keith is a incredible guy. Friendly, so fan friendly, you know, people friendly,
mm-hmm.
A smile on his face, you know, ready to tell you a story, and, you know, just a really cool guy. It's a pleasure to have these kind of guys come in from these legendary shows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people just love meeting them. Keith, when Keith auditioned for I Love Lucy, they were looking for a Little Ricky because, you know, Desi Arnaz Jr. was too small. He was a baby at the time.
Right.
And I
feel that the popular misconception is, you know, for people who don't really look into these things, is that Desi Jr. was Little Ricky on the show. But yeah, as you said,
right,
he was a baby.
Right. So yeah, Desi was a baby, and so they were like, let's bring in Little Ricky because we need somebody that's going to be in the age range of, like, you know, 3, 4, 5. So
mm-hmm.
In comes Keith with his dad, And the story is that, you know, they go over to Lucy, and Lucy says to the dad, well, you know, what acting has he done? And he says, well, he really hasn't done any. And she goes, oh, well, what does he do? And the dad proudly says, well, he drums. And she goes, oh, okay. and she points over to a drum set. This is the story as best I remember it. Points over to a drum set and says, all right, well, go over there and let's hear you drum. Not knowing that Keith had already been professionally drumming with the Horace Height Orchestra since he was three. Okay. So he gets on the drums and he's kicking ass on the drums. And Lucy goes, oh, wait a minute now. All right, Desi, come on in and see what's going on here. And Desi comes in and he's like, okay, all right, that's little Ricky. We got our little Ricky.
That's great.
And the rest is history, and he turned out to be a very sweet kid, and you know, we all grew up watching him as he grew up, you know, learning the ropes. And
yeah,
before he knew it, you know, after I Love Lucy, he was Opie's best friend on the Andy Griffith Show and did some great stuff. But yeah, for 40 years, he's been a drummer in a Christian rock band called David and the Giants.
Oh, and that's a great name.
Yeah, and so they from that story that I know is they were a rock band, and then they all, you know, got deeper into religion as it was going on, and they changed over and became a Christian rock band, their music is great.
So on tour now, when they trash a hotel room, they do it in the name of God.
Right. yeah, I guess I there you go.
They don't touch the Bible. They leave the Bible.
Yes, that's it. The Bible stays right there on the bed.
Yeah.
And the rest of the room gets trashed. Yes, okay.
So you
ask him that. That's funny.
So you had mentioned he is the last surviving member of that cast, and I think he might also be the last surviving person who has met and encountered interacted with George Reeves, TV Superman from Superman.
Yeah, probably. That's one of the most famous I Love Lucy episodes.
It's brilliant.
Lucy throws a birthday party and there's a little boy that's a friend of little Ricky, and he always has the best parties, and the mother always is like, yeah, well, my son. And so Lucy brainstorms, and she's like, well, little Ricky is going to have Superman at his birthday party, not knowing she can get him, you know, and it's such a great episode. It's such a great episode.
And what's really fun about that episode is they sort of they do a little bit of kayfabe, if you know wrestling vernacular, right? They keep that illusion. They don't say George Reeves. He is Superman throughout
the
episode.
Oh, absolutely.
But yet he doesn't.
You know what's funny?
He doesn't necessarily do Superman things. Like, the only thing, he crawls out on the ledge, which really anybody would do to help Lucy. Spoiler alert: Lucy dresses up as Superman and tries to impress the kids and gets stuck on the ledge and gets covered in pigeons. And spoiler alert for someone who hasn't seen a 60-year-old television show.
She climbs out on the ledge and she wants to come in the window as Superman. You know, ta-da!
Yep.
And she ends up covered
helmet.
In pigeons on, with a football
she
helmet
was,
on. Yes.
Yeah. She was great. And, you know, and again, like that kind of, you know, she's such an icon unto herself for everything that she did on that show and her comedic talent and acting. And then even her later works, you know, when she was doing some more dramatic roles, like that TV movie where she was a homeless woman, was brilliant. you know, a lot of us in the pop culture world also, you know, put her on a high pedestal because she's the one that gave Star Trek a chance. You know, it was her production company. It was her and her business partner that were, that said, no, we're going to go ahead with the show because there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the world would have been very different in so many ways without Lucille Ball. And it's great that she is still, you know, revered, known, honored, and that people like Keith are still around to carry the torch for her and share those stories about what it was like to kind of grow up with her as a surrogate mom in a lot of cases, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the production company was responsible for Star Trek, but also for The Mothers-in-Law, which I don't know how many people remember that show. I threw that in for a lark.
That letter writing campaign went nowhere.
Yes, absolutely.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Am I there?
Yeah, you're here. I heard a something, but no, I heard a thump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know, we're here.
So now, next guest I'm bringing in is Mark Holton. And if people don't know the name Mark Holton, they certainly, if they've seen the now cult movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Mark was Francis Buxton, the rich kid that thought he could even buy Pee-wee's bike. And it wasn't for sale. But, he pulls out the money and goes, yes. And he goes, I'll get you, Pee-wee. And then, the rest is, he's a great,
heavy.
The scenes between, he's a wonderful guy also. And if you don't know him from the Pee-wee movie, he was in both Leprechaun movies. He was in both Teen Wolf movies.
Yeah.
And he also played the lead in the Gacy movie. Talk about a change in a role from Francis Buxton and Pee-wee's movie to John Wayne Gacy. He's a wonderful, wonderful actor. And really, it's funny, I had a talk with him the other day and I said, you know, I tried to watch the Gacy movie, but I hope Kevin doesn't wince at this when he's listening to this, but I get scared by horror movies. I'm not a huge horror movie fan, but you know, I was the guy with Chiller that always brought in Bozo the Clown and Big Bird, you know, like those.
the Magic Garden ladies. And Zoom,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the fact that it's real life too, it just does make it that much more terrifying. And he is chilling. His performance is chilling in that.
It really is. I mean, we started watching it and we got to the middle of it and we were like, okay, we'll come back to this, you know? And it's funny, you know, but I'll give you an example of me and my fiance, Angela. Yeah, when you come to the show, I have to introduce you to Angela. She's just a wonderful person in my life. So we go to the movies every Tuesday, so this time we're looking at what's playing, and we're looking at it, and it said Scream 6, and she goes, oh, yeah, well, that's – I don't really know the Scream movies. I know of them. But, you know, she goes, oh, I think that's a comedy kind of a takeoff on horror films. I'm like, okay, she's thinking Scary Movie, you know.
Right,
and
which was
which is a comedy takeoff on Scream and the other things. So
which is a tongue-in-cheek look at horror movie tropes. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, so we get into the movie theater, and within the first, like, 5 minutes, there's two killings, and we're just looking at each other maybe we should change movies.
you should have seen Shazam's. That was good.
Well, yes, we did. We saw Shazam. Shazam's wonderful movie.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I dug it. A lot of great, good mythological stuff in there that's also in our wheelhouse on this show.
And a cameo in there by Billy Gray.
By Michael Gray. Yeah,
Billy Gray was from Father Knows Best, yeah.
He played Billy Bassett on the old Shazam show.
Yes, that's right.
Wearing the same shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, rocking the same shirt, and he calls him Captain Marvel in the movie, which is gold, which is beautiful because that is the character.
Yes.
But one of Mark's favorite roles, because Mark has done a ton of work. I mean, he pops up in so many different things. One of my favorite bit parts of him around the same time as Pee-wee's was the Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad.
Oh, yes.
And he is the man who stands up and goes, look, it's Enrico Bolzano. And what I love about that cameo is that is his credit. His credit is that line. If you watch the credits at the end of the movie, his credit is that line. And I've always thought that was a brilliant way to credit somebody.
He is known so much for that line that we actually had a still made up to bring to Chiller of him, you know, pointing.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the third guest that I'm bringing in, because he's so busy, I didn't even think I could get him initially, but fortune was with me. He's in between like I think three different projects right now, and just came back from the West Coast. But I'm bringing in Robert Smigel, who is bringing in Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Nice.
Which is the puppet of the dog with the cigar hanging out of its mouth that ribs people like a Catskill comic. And if you guys listening don't know of Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, search it on Google and you'll see Triumph on Hollywood Squares in his own square.
Yep.
You'll see Triumph at the Grammys kicking off Eminem. You'll see and asking Jennifer Lopez if he could smell her butt. It is just the stuff that he comes up with and the stuff that he says is so funny. There's a clip up on YouTube also. I was just watching it earlier where he's talking to Bon Jovi and the band before they did their gig at the stadium. And the stuff that he's saying is really, really funny.
Yeah,
but,
I like to say he's Tony Clifton in dog form.
Yes, exactly.
He's Tony Clifton
exactly.
in dog form, yeah.
Whom I brought into Chiller in the past.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I'm kind of coming kind of weird
cool.
full circle.
Now I first noticed Triumph a little over 20 years ago on Conan O'Brien. That was the first time I saw
Absolutely.
Triumph. Was he created as a bit for, as far as you know, as a Conan, or were there appearances prior to that?
You know, I don't know the answer to. I do know that I think I looked up in his credits today, and they said that he did like 600 or so appearances on Conan.
Like
a crazy amount of appearances. And they sent him everywhere. And just what a funny guy and what a quick mind. Robert Smigel is also responsible for Hotel Transylvania cartoons movies.
Yep.
He did the first two. He had written the script for, and he also voiced the Dracula cartoon character. He was a writer with Saturday Night Live for
TV
like 20 years.
Yeah,
TV Funhouse, exactly.
Funhouse, yep, the animated segment.
And he was in Bits also on Saturday Night Live. I mean, the things that he did, I didn't even realize till I looked through some of his credits. You know, script writing and screenplay writing with Adam Sandler movies, produced one of those. And he was just at the Adam Sandler tribute that they did when they gave him the Mark Twain Award in Washington, D.C. He was there. There you go, from Washington, D.C. direct to Chiller.
Which is great that he was able to leave Washington, D.C., because I think Triumph and him had a bit of trouble not too long ago doing some segment, some bit at the Capitol. And, of course, typical Robert Smigel fashion, I think he wound up being somewhere where he shouldn't have been. And I think there was like a little bit of a kerfuffle, a little brouhaha there.
Yeah, there was some misunderstanding. You know, I believe, you know, according to Robert, you know, all the bits that they were supposed to do in the interview segments and stuff were pre-scheduled and they were supposed to be there. But, you know, I guess somebody didn't have clearance for something or somebody didn't have a pass. And so next thing you know, the papers kind of said, you know, Triumph the Insult Dog is arrested, you know.
Which, I mean, you know what? Misunderstanding, a hassle, an inconvenience. But, boy, what great press. What great publicity.
But he was not – I just want to make it clear. He wasn't one of the people down there on the 6th. You know,
No, he wasn't in that.
He was just doing a bit, you know, because these days, you know, he works with the Colbert Show and, you know, and does, you know, does bits on there. And Triumph is now on TikTok.
Yes. For as long as we have TikTok in this country, we'll see.
There you go. Yeah.
And I think that's part of, I think that was part of it, was that this was well after January 6th. And so, yeah, there was a little bit more of a heightened security and an awareness, I guess, that wasn't there prior to January 6th. And unfortunately, he did get caught up in that sort of heightenedness of it. You know, plus something
could
be said about...
But look at this. He was just welcomed with open arms at the Adam Sandler Mark Twain Award tribute. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's all good now. Everything's all good.
Yeah.
And he's working on some really new and great projects too. You know, I heard in your intro the thing about Andy Kaufman finally getting into the in getting his due with the Wrestler Federation. That's wonderful.
Oh yeah, it's great. I just wanted to touch on Robert again because again, I think a lot of people don't understand, as you were saying before, his amount of credits and just how talented and versatile and funny this guy is. Most people just know him as the guy with his hand up the dog's butt, you know? So,
You know, it's so funny when he got posted on the Chiller groups on Facebook, the reaction was mainly people going, oh my God, the greatest guest ever. Oh, I'm coming just to see Triumph. Oh, it's like, whoa, you know, but it's like I did like with Tony Clifton, you know, it's kind of like, I always kind of managed to get one of those guests where when you're looking through 100 celebrities, you know, you go, oh no, look who's there, you know?
Yeah. It stands out and it calls attention to it. And I think both Robert, you know, I think Robert's going to have a great time at Chiller meeting people and talking to people. And I absolutely know that, you know, for Triumph, Chiller is going to be an absolute delight for him to poop on.
Yeah. Yes, right. Well, there you go. There's his classic expression. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice. And, you know, and part of, one of the things we've talked about before in the past is the friendships that you have made with the people that you have brought to Chiller. And, you know, I was saddened to hear, of the passing of, Bobby Boris Pickett's daughter, recently. So my condolences there. I know you were very
Nancy,
close.
Nancy was great. She was the one that, you know, kind of took the reins after Bobby passed and really allowed me to continue to be part of Bobby's career and Bobby's life and behind Monster Mash. And, you know, she gave me even just right after Bobby passed, she gave me the rights to Bobby's official website, you know, which is themonstermash.com. And, you know, God bless her for everything that she did. And she sent me his lab coat back then. And that lab coat, if we hadn't spoken about this, made its way now into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Very cool. Nice.
Yes. You know, I mean, here's Monster Mash was probably the biggest rock and roll novelty record of all time. And, And so why not, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to look at Bobby's lab coat that he used to put on before he would sing Monster Mash with the blood and the spiders on it and the embroidered yeah. Bobby Boris Pickett and Monster Mash on it. It just screams, you know, the song, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. And again, that's another constant. That's another perennial that every year that song gets played, you know, and it even has a healthy life outside of Halloween too. You know, I remember as a kid having a record of a lot of those, you know, of Monster Mash and Purple People Eater and a lot of these novelty songs. Right. And I would, as a kid, I would play that record year round. I wouldn't always wait for Halloween, you know. It's like, no, that song is a great atmospheric and just just well deserved of its place, and it's great that he's honored in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's fantastic.
It's so funny. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, keep going.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah.
I could babble all day about this stuff.
same. another person that you have brought to Chiller that was a friend of yours, that you sent me. Thank you for sending me those pictures. They were great. I made great use of two of them for the promos, and but the one that you sent me of you with Gavin McLeod. Gilbert Gottfried. Larry Storch, right. Gilbert recently, they were a great magazine for comic book lovers, especially of what's considered the Bronze Age, which would be like the 70s, the 80s, into the 90s. It's called Back Issue mm-hmm. Magazine by Tomorrow's Publishing. And they just had mm-hmm. a new issue come out this week that deals a lot with Superboy in that era. And there's a couple interviews with the second actor who played Superboy on the syndicated show in the 90s, as well mm-hmm. as the actress who played Lana Lang, Gerard Christopher and Stacey Hayduck. And mm-hmm. the interview was done shortly after Gilbert unfortunately passed. So they mm-hmm. took a point to Gilbert was a frequent guest star on that show. He played a character that was original to the show in the comics called Knick-Knack. It's basically uh-huh. Toyman. Gilbert, yeah. as always, you know, knocked it out of the park. He was great on the show. And one of the things that they talk about in these interviews is that Gilbert was also a really big comic book science fiction fan. And Gilbert
and
a monster fan as well, yeah. And Gilbert even got to write an issue of the spin-off comic for the TV show, The Adventures of Superboy, issue 20, The Origin of the
Knack. I didn't know that.
Gilbert got to co-write that, so I thought that was really neat.
Wow.
And Gilbert also kind of touches on something else, too, in this little pop culture milieu that we kind of circle around on this show specifically. Mm-hmm. Gilbert also went on to voice the Mr. Mixes Piddalick, the mischievous imp from the fifth dimension on the Superman animated series in the mid to late 90s. And one of the things I found out, because I'm always researching history and stuff like that for these types of things, when they were trying to land, when Bruce Timm and his creative team were trying to land on the design for Superman, a lot of the influence was the old Fleischer cartoons from 1941. I don't know if you're familiar with those. But they kind of wanted to edge it a little bit more and make it a little more unique. And they kept having a tough time landing on what they felt was the best way to portray Superman's head, right? They didn't necessarily want to do the Fleischer thing, and so long story short, what they wound up using, and this is where this is all, I'm going to thread this needle right here, because we talked mm-hmm. about, I think the last time, how you used to watch the old Hercules cartoon I was exposed to on the New Jersey Network right before Uncle Floyd.
Johnny Nash, I think.
They used that head, that version of Hercules' animated head from that Hercules cartoon from the 60s. They just tweaked it slightly, and 30 or so years later, that became Superman's head on that animated series.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great.
I, when
I, it was cool. I was like, oh, that threads this needle great. Because in my conversation in the previous show with Hercules, I always would put it out there, you know, Marvel has Hercules, right? Marvel Comics has their own Hercules. And I always put Superman up there as DC's Hercules. Yes, there is a version of Hercules in the DC universe, but I feel Superman is a great modern interpretation of Hercules. And that just really, I was like, wow, that connection is so cool in pop culture that Superman's head is actually modeled on Hercules' head from the 60s. So that was a huge tangent and a digression. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Yeah, it was a huge tangent digression that I did want to, what I live for, to make these weird connections. But I kind of
go ahead. I want to just add one more thing to Gilbert. Gilbert was such a monster movie fan that when you walked into Gilbert's home, he had on display in a case the life masks of Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi and Vincent Price.
Wow.
And then he also had, and you're going to love this, in the back of the old 60s comics where it was like, you can order a life-size Frankenstein. Right. So he not only had it, he had it. I mean, this thing was 6 feet tall. He had it in a 6 foot frame on his wall.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
It framed in glass. I mean, it was just so cool. Yeah.
Now the question is, did he cut up an old comic and try and mail away for it, or did he just track it down from some collector that actually had cut it, mailed it away for it, and actually had those things? Because I really don't know anybody who actually got that.
I have no idea. My hunch is that somebody who knew his love for monster movies and comics probably tracked it down for him and surprised him with it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to talk a little bit about, because you did get to interact with Gilbert. I had no idea you even went to his home, which is really cool. And by all accounts, he was just such a sweetheart, such a really nice guy.
When people think Gilbert Gottfried, they think, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, you know, and it's you know, crazy. But he was. Even in his softer, regular spoken voice, he was still so funny. His humor was so funny. You know, I would call him up. I'll never forget this. Whenever I would call him up and I'd get him on the phone, I'd go, hey, Gil, how are you? And his response would always be the same. It would be, you know, like an old Jewish sigh, you know, like,
And that was the thing too, because he had a lot, you know, because he also did, you know, he put that character out there, and in a lot of public appearances, yes, would be that character. I know someone who worked with him for about a week in advertising back when he was doing some commercial work, and for this event for the week, you know, when there was downtime, he was just, you know, calm and spoke in the natural voice. But as soon as he had to hit the floor for the press conference or whatever, you know, it was Gilbert. You know, he was doing his thing, you know. And I always love that there are, you know, that they can turn it on and off like a switch sometimes. You know, I always find that fascinating.
Oh yeah.
Especially
what
when
I gotta tell you something funny, that happened to Chiller actually. I'm sorry. Were you on in the middle of something? I just, because we kind of overlap each other.
Yeah. No. That's fine. Go right ahead.
Oh. Okay. Is the language G on this show? I mean, I'm not going to use, you know, I'm not going to drop an F-bomb on you, but it was just so something that was so funny. So somebody lays out the Beverly Hills Cop poster for Gilbert. Mm. And Gilbert was in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Right.
Okay. So they had it smothered with signatures from all of the actors. And then, and this was laid out in front of me. Gilbert didn't sign this in front of me. I was with Bronson Pinchot at the time, who was in, you know, all the Beverly Hills Cop movies, you know? And so they lay this poster out for Bronson to sign, and dead center in the middle of it is Gilbert's autograph. And it says, I wasn't in this one, you dick.
You dick. That's great. reminds me of this.
Just what a great sense of humor.
Oh, that's great. And I hope that guy appreciated it, man. I really do hope the guy appreciated that.
I hope so. Yeah.
It reminds me of this classic picture of Jack Nicholson back when, you know, a few years before Jack just kind of retreated into solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's out. Yeah. And, you know, Jack would always get inundated for autographs. And there's this picture of Jack getting out of a limo, and there's a crowd of people around him. And he's, you know, reaching out for a picture. But the picture the guy is handing him is a picture, is 8x10 glossy of the Joker, but it's Heath Ledger's Joker. And the look on Jack's face at the guy, it's like Jack is just staring daggers into this guy. And I always wanted to know, like, did Jack, because he's reaching for it, did he sign it anyway? And what did he sign if he signed it? But that's great that Gilbert just committed to that. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, Gilbert was so funny. I did a weekend at a show with Gilbert once. And I'm sitting there the whole time, you know, and talking, you know, because he was a fountain of trivia to talk to. I mean, he was wonderful to talk to. So we get to the end of the weekend, and, you know, I'm pretty humble with my guests, you know. So I just nicely say, Gil, can you sign one for me? You know, and I pick out the picture, and he just very seriously, you know, uncaps the marker, and he starts writing, and he hands me back the picture, and it says, "To Stuart, please stop talking to me."
That's awesome. That's like my autograph of Tony Clifton to John Pepe. Go F yourself, Tony Clifton.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh man, that's great. I mean, he was such a treasure, and you know, it's I think we always take these people for granted sometimes, you know, and then we really miss them when they're gone, especially when the work stops, you know. And I think that's such a great thing that you are able to do, and everybody else that's involved with these shows, especially with Chiller, that you know, it's an opportunity to see these. To see people that you grew up with, to not regret never having that opportunity, you know, to sort of fulfill and make a childhood dream come true. And, you know, and I've talked with Kevin a few times when I've been at Chiller, and he is the nicest guy. He is one of us. He does this not for him, but for everybody else. And it really is.
He does
such
it.
A great
I once
thing.
Asked him, you know, and I said, you know, why do you do this? And he said, I do this to make people happy. I do this to bring them back, you know, to their happy times. You know, there's so much crap going on in the world, you know, at any given moment.
Is there? I haven't noticed.
And to know. And to know, you're not going to let me get serious for 1 second. And to know that there is something like the Chiller Convention. I just want to mention a couple of other names that are there, aside from the ones that I'm bringing in. When you walk in the door of Chiller Theater Expo, you're going to get a chance to meet, you know, Priscilla Presley is going to be there.
Amazing. Amazing that she's going to be there. God bless her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's really, I'm guessing that must be one of her first appearances in public, you know, since all that went on. And so, yeah, she's going to be there. Mike Love from the Beach Boys is going to be there. And if, you know, the lead singer of the Beach Boys, there's a forecast person, a reunion of the Wonder Years. There's Tia Carrere is going to be there. She's coming back. And I remember when she was at Chiller the last time, you know, they got her up on the stage to do Ballroom Blitz, you know, I mean, she
that was
killed,
great.
You know,
yeah.
there's just go, you know, it, whoever's listening, if you've never seen, or heard of Chiller Theater Expo, just go to the website, chillertheater.com, and check out the guest list, and you'll be scrolling all the way down going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, look at all these people.
Yeah.
And they're all in that one place at the same time.
Yeah, it's great. It's so much fun. Like, you know, and you know, like Jerry Lawler, another person who had a setback recently, is still on the schedule to be there. I got to meet him once before at Chiller. We talked to Andy Kaufman. So, you know, that's what I want to do is I want to get a picture. I have a picture of me and Jerry from the last time he was at Chiller. I want to get that done at 8x10, and I want to sign it to my friend Jerry the King Lawler. You know, best wishes, John Petty. Give that to Jerry.
And I mean, and Jimmy Hart is going to be there.
Jimmy Mouth and South Hart, yes.
Right. Who also was very involved with Andy and his wrestling.
A lot of people don't realize this. Yeah.
They don't realize this because it's funny. I'm such an Andy Kaufman fan that it wasn't until somebody sent me the wrestling matches that he did following the Jerry Lawler wrestling matches.
Yep.
I realized.
The boxing matches.
Wait, you might have me there. Boxing?
They did boxing matches as well. Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah,
oh, my.
The documentary I'm From Hollywood, Andy Kaufman, covers all of that. And, yeah, they've transitioned from wrestling to boxing.
That must have been over my head. That must have went over my head. Wow.
In fact, so that was done by Lynn Margulis and her brother, Johnny Legend. Jerry Lawler signed my copy of that DVD as well as Johnny Legend.
Johnny was at Chiller too. I remember talking to him.
In fact, on the inside, Jerry wrote Andy Lives. So that's proof right there.
That's just so funny. You know, when I met Michael Kaufman once, Andy's brother, there was this incredible Andy Kaufman display exhibit in New York City. I don't know if you ever had a chance when it was there to see that. It was a bunch of years back, and it was done by NYU.
I remember that because that's also because Tony Clifton at Santo's Party House was part of that sort of week event. And we wanted to go to the exhibit.
Yes.
We didn't make it to the exhibit, but we did wind up at the Santos Party House, which is where you and I technically met for the first time, even though we never met. It wasn't until a few years later where we actually met.
So fill this in for me. Santos Party House is the show that, you know, I had seen a whole bunch of Tony's shows, you know, up to that point. And so when it got to Santo's Party House, it was getting really late, and I was like, oh, yeah, he should be wrapping up soon. And so I left and then told – I don't know how long you stayed, but I was told that he actually went all night till like 5 in the morning.
We closed the place down. I think it was about 4. They were trying to kick him off a little before 2, but it wrapped up finally around 4 o'clock.
God bless
him,
man.
That's what you get with Tony. And again, I know you hate this story because you weren't there, but when he was at Chiller, we were invited to go hang out in someone else's hotel room with Tony Clifton, and we were in their hotel room till about 4 in the morning. They were trying to kick us out. And these two people had just gotten married. That's why they were having a party in their hotel room.
Oh, my. And he was Tony the whole night. That was That's amazing. That is amazing.
It was a weird experience because he had the get up, but as he was getting more comfortable with us and talking with us, it was the mask was slipping underneath, right? So it was a little surreal, a little weird in that experience. But
the only thing, let's bring it out in the open. Everybody knows, you know, when it was Tony Clifton. Tony Clifton was being played by Bob Zmuda. Bob Zmuda, if you're not familiar with Bob, I'm just talking to the audience. I know you are. was Andy's like right arm and writer. And when it came to the character of Tony Clifton, Andy and Bob came up with it together and said, you know, we can both dress as this guy. And you know, they did take turns to the point where Letterman thought he was sitting there talking to Andy, and Andy was home watching it on TV. Right, it was Bob. So
and
at
then,
the end,
and,
I did I ever – go ahead.
Oh, well, then they would take it to another level because then when people were getting wise to, oh, it's just, you know, it's Andy and or Bob, I think, I don't know if it was the Carnegie Hall show, but it was one of the shows where Andy
where Michael came out.
Bob's on
yeah.
stage, and then Tony shows up, and yeah, it's Michael, Andy's brother,
right.
That we talked about before, in Tony Clifton garb.
Did I ever tell you this? I may have told it to you, but I don't know if I ever said it on your show. When at the end of the Chiller weekend, when I met Bob down by the bar, his assistant Jeremy, you know, said, you know, Bob wants to come down and say hi to you, you know, and I said okay, because I hadn't seen Bob all weekend. I was working with Tony,
right.
but I hadn't seen
right.
Bob all weekend. so did I ever tell you what happened?
Oh yes, you did.
When
you
he
did,
came
but yeah, and I think we talked about the show, but it's so great, it's so beautiful. You definitely tell it again. I love it.
So we're sitting and we're talking, and then Bob's Muta says to me, he goes, "I got something special for you," and he hands me the nose, the rubber nose that he wore as Tony the whole weekend. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And took a picture of him and me where he's pointing to the nose. You know, I mean, it was just awesome. Awesome.
Oh, that's
know?
So cool. That I'm jealous of, that you have Tony's nose.
Okay.
So another great thing
not,
about
yeah, I mean, you know,
sure.
I mean, it's funny. Like I said, I'm with my fiance now, so you know, she's going through some of my stuff, and you know, here's this rubber nose in a plastic bag. And she's like,
you still
what
have
is
it
this?
In the Ziploc plastic yeah. bag? Last time I was like, no, you got to get it shrined, like put it in like one of those globes for that they use for baseballs, right?
Yeah, I put it in a plastic bag. I sealed it in a plastic bag. I said, it's probably not going to get bad here, you know.
You could go
but
on
she was
tour
just looking at
just
it like,
the...
what? And then I said, it's the nose that, and then she just looked at me like, what? It's the what?
Nah, you enshrine that thing. You could go on tour with Tony's nose, just like Elvis's jacket, that old bit, right? The Elvis's jacket on tour.
Yes, yes, yes. Or the scene from Sleeper where they have the nose of the president. And the,
right, the nose
yes.
of the president, right?
Right.
So now, you know, one of the great things, too, about Chiller is that it's not just TV, film, and television. Like you mentioned, Mike loves, you know, there's a big
right.
music presence in there. Kevin is a guitarist,
sure.
so a really good guitarist as well.
Oh, yeah,
he plays,
and his band,
you know,
the Dead,
band
the Dead Elvi.
Yep.
Yep.
And music is a big part of it. I know music is a big part of you as well. And we talked about the mm-hmm. last time. We definitely talked a little bit in depth. And we've got 8 minutes left here, so a couple
okay.
things I want to get to. So really quick,
sure.
You know, we talked about how you wrote the song for "I Saw Mr. Presley Tiptoeing Through the Tulips" for Tiny Tim.
For Tiny Tim. Yeah.
And the first time you were on, we talked a little bit about your first breakthrough hit that wound up on the Dr. Demento show. But I just want to cover mm-hmm. that again. One of the greatest musical compositions of all time, Disco Toilet. how did this come about? And you co-wrote this with somebody. This is not a solo effort. So
Yes, I co-wrote it with my best friend, Larry. Larry Chipkin, Chipkin, and so we you know, it's billed as Hirsch and Chipkin, which
yep.
was really not easy for anybody to say. You know, we went on a radio show once to promote the record, and the guy's going, Hirsch and Chicken. You know, it's like, okay, no, that's not it. But yeah, I was one of those people in the 70s that just every, you know, I had a car with an AM radio, and you couldn't get away from disco music. There was no,
yep.
no variety. Everything was, you know, and you had to, you know, I mean, even if you were a rock star, you know, the Stones had to do Miss You. McCartney had to do Good Night Tonight. You know,
mm-hmm.
The Kinks had to do Superman. You know, they all had to do a disco song to get on the charts, no matter how huge they were. And I
yep.
was just really sick of disco and that hi-hat and that drum, that kick drum. And so I came up with Disco Toilet, Flush Your Cares Away, and did it. You know, I wasn't as blunt as, you know, Disco Sucks, which some other guy did a record that said that.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I had actual flushes of a toilet in mine. I had the background girls in the middle of my song doing parodies of other disco songs that were changed like flush, flush, I'm in a rush. And flush out, La Bowl got soul.
It's multi-layered.
Yeah, Demento loved it. Demento just loved it, and he loved the stereo effect of the toilet flush going from left to right.
and you you knew Dr. Demento, right?
Oh yeah, Dr. Demento was wonderful to me, and he played Disco Toilet, and then he played another song that was a takeoff on the Beach Boys Jan and Dean stuff that I wrote, called What Do I Do Now That I'm All Grown Up in California, or subtitled What Do You Do When Your Little Deuce Coupe Goes Poop. And so he played that a little bit. Demento, Barry Hansen, what a wonderful guy. What a wonderful guy. Started the career of Weird Al Yankovic. And and Weird Al's another guy I brought into Chiller in the past.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie, the Weird Al biopic?
I did. I saw it. And
I thought Rainn Wilson
still,
was great.
I'm still in mess.
Dr. Demento.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Oh, I thought Rainn Wilson was great as Dr. Demento. I think they lean into him being a heavy a little too much. Fascinating stuff. I had no idea that Weird Al was killed after accepting that award for most popular musician with a niche instrument. That was tragic to find out that it happened in 1985.
To be honest, I was blown away by the idea that Harry Potter played Weird Al. If that wasn't, and he did a brilliant job. But I was actually a little, and I hate to say this, but I was a little turned off by how dark the movie turned. And there were some things in there that shocked me that I kept thinking of is his younger fan base, how disturbing it would be, because I was a little bothered by a little bit. I think it got a little out of hand. There's going out there, and then there's going, out there and deep and dark,
Yeah, it did get a little dark, the Pablo Escobar stuff, no doubt. But that's history, and you really can't mess with history, Stuart. That all happened.
Yeah, right.
You have to accept it.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Things I didn't even know.
Yes, yeah. So we have about exactly 3 minutes left. So I want really quick. I've been meaning to get to this for a while. First of all, so it's a two-part thing. How many Beatles have you met?
Oh, I met 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4.
Yes.
Who's the one you didn't meet?
I didn't meet George.
Oh, that's a shame.
But I met Paul at a couple of his signings. I met Ringo at a couple of his signings, and of course, when I was 15, I had the accidental opportunity of being able to interview John Lennon, and it was done with a questionnaire and handwriting, and it was just a kid's dream, anybody's dream, but at 15 years old, he was the coolest. If anybody ever thought John Lennon was cool, John Lennon was cooler than cool.
Yeah, yeah. You've posted the pictures of that correspondence, those letters, on Facebook, and it's so cool that he did take the time to do that. And you even were able to get a picture of the, with the man himself, which you managed to salvage mostly.
Yeah.
And how did that come about?
My dad was told to wait outside the court building where John was having his case, where I went in to talk to John. As we were coming out of the doors, my dad, who always was into new gimmicks, had the Big Shot Polaroid camera, which was this thing meant to take just a close-up of a face. And so there we are in January, freezing cold weather. God knows how the film froze, the Polaroid
film.
I
hate to interrupt.
We got about 1 minute left, Stuart. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, the rest is history.
So your dad took the Polaroid picture with the old big clunky Instamatic camera.
And I was so excited.
Great.
I put it in my front pocket and creased it on me, which
well,
really, really added to the fun.
you have enough of it to have a memory. Yes. and you know, and a little bit of the physical part of it as well. Well,
but
sure.
When you look at it, John looks like that Jesus shroud thing.
The shroud of Turin. Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Well, Stuart, thank you so much for coming back. Let's do this again in October. I look forward to your lineup of guests. I look forward to seeing you this Friday at Chiller Theater in Parsippany, New Jersey, or not this Friday, but Friday, the last week of April, or last weekend of April, folks. So look it up, chillertheater.com.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss was just added. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, awesome. Well, hopefully he'll get to speak on Saturday night, because that was amazing the last time he did that. Folks,
yes,
I am Chad Carl Pepe. Come visit me at the Joker's Child in Fairlawn, New Jersey, 12-23 River Road. Don't forget to catch my weekly comic review podcast with my compatriot Angel Santiago. Thank you again, Hercules. Thank you again, Stuart. You are truly the great one. I will always stand behind that. Folks,
thank
this
you
has
so
been
much.
The Pep Talk. We'll see you next month.